All right, welcome to this special report. We have to talk about the economic consequences of what's happening with the war on Iran. Just to catch you up, in case you've been living on Mars or something. Wow. Over the weekend, devastating attacks both ways. Iran was struck by an incredible volley of bombs and missiles, Tomahawk missiles, from the U.S. and Israel, notably destroying over 20 oil storage facilities across Iran, basically detonating all the oil they had stored. It's probably hundreds of millions of gallons, if not maybe even billions. All that went up in smoke, and it caused kind of like a apocalyptic black acid rain across Tehran and other areas of Iran, really promoting a lot of filthy air, lung damage, you know, problems breathing, etc. It's a horrific crime against civilians to blow up that oil infrastructure. It was so heinous that even the United States government said that Israel went too far. That takes some doing. They said Israel went too far. They shouldn't have done that. I think Trump even said that Israel shouldn't have done that, but they did. In response, Iran just absolutely hammered the Ben Gurion airport area and other areas of Israel with another massive volley of unstoppable missiles. I mean, there were interceptors fired from the ground, you know, anti-air interceptors. I only saw one or two of them even hit, but the incoming missiles were absolutely devastating. And I do have a video to show you on that, just to give you a sense of what we're talking about. And just as a disclaimer, it's always difficult to know which of these videos are recent and authentic. And, you know, I don't have the resources to be able to check every source of every video, but I think this gives you the general gist of what's happening. So this video appears to show Iranian missiles striking the Ben Gurion airport, or even, I think I heard them say Nevatim, one of the military bases in Israel, which is just, it's just getting devastated. So check out this video.
נפילות אחי, נפילות של החיים בנבטים. נפילות בנבטים אחי. נפילות קשות בנבטים, שומע? וואו, 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 וואו. וואו. הכל נופל לנבטים, אני אומר לך מתקפה אחת החזקות. אימאלה, זהו, למקלט.
בואו.
So as you can see there in that video, things are not looking good for Israel, and nor for Iran, by the way. These countries are trading devastating blows, but caught in the mix of this are, of course, the Arab Gulf states. So, you know, the UAE, Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, even Iraq to some extent, etc. These Gulf states are getting absolutely hammered. Their infrastructure is being destroyed at a rate that I think no one anticipated. Certainly not Trump, not the Pentagon, not any observers or very few observers. The situation is so bad that the global fossil fuel infrastructure is now broken. It's broken, folks. It's broken. And I know that in the past, sometimes I've been called a doomer for being too doomy and gloomy. when everything's going boomy. And let me tell you, today, you can't be too doomer. Because however doom you go, the reality is way worse. How would we say that? It's like doom on steroids. For example, the United Kingdom only has 2 days of gasoline remaining. 2 days of gas for vehicles, or as they call it, petrol in the UK. Let's see, there was a quote here. This is UK Daily Mail reporting this. And then after the gas runs out, then in order to get gas, the UK is going to have to purchase from somewhere else. They're going to have to bid up the price and pay whatever price is demanded somewhere across Europe or somewhere else. Oil prices are about to just hit the roof. In fact, the price of a barrel of oil on the global oil markets, that price has now doubled since 3 months ago. And as I'm recording this, it's over $110 a barrel, and it's headed for $150. Massive lines at gas stations in Spain and other countries across Europe, and it looks like the European economies are just going to crater. Because there's no energy. Because, of course, they have no natural gas either. Since, the Nord Stream pipelines were blown up by the United States, that's worth mentioning. So that's the UK, that's Europe. They're in, again, a world of hurt. But the global impact is going to hit all of us. And right now, shortages are beginning to appear in things that you would not have guessed. Such as, for example, polymers. The polymer supply. A significant portion of the polymer exports for the world that the world uses to make plastics and HDPE bottles and barrels and bottle caps and sprayers and just everything made out of plastic. A big portion of that comes out of the Gulf states. Of course, the biggest portion comes out of China, but the next biggest portion is out of the Gulf states. And that's done. That's shut off now. So we're going to see shortages of textiles. We're going to see shortages of plastics and all the things I mentioned, bottles, probably like consumer product bottles. This may even impact us at our online store, healthrangerstore.com, where we might not be able to get bottles or bottle lids or containers or canisters or things like that. This could have this is going to be way worse than COVID. Just giving you a heads up. Remember how bad COVID was and how crazy that was? This could be a lot worse than COVID. But the shortages are going to hit things like sulfur, because the Gulf states were the largest exporter of sulfur, because they pull it out of the oil. And then they export sulfur for industrial use, including sulfuric acid, which is used on Epstein Island and other places, other industrial processes. We're talking about a collapse of global infrastructure that is far worse than anything witnessed during COVID. In addition, the global stock markets are already cratering at this point. So Korea is crashing, Japan crashing, Taiwan cratering. And probably by the time you hear this, which would be Monday morning, remember, I'm recording this right around midnight, but Monday morning USA time, my prediction is stock market cratering. I'm going to call it Black Monday 2.0. And those of you old enough to remember, there was a Black Monday in 1987. I was in high school at the time. I remember Black Monday. I didn't know what it meant, but I remember a lot of older dudes were really pissed off that day. Like, we lost so much money. I'm like, what are you talking about? None of us have any money, because we're all broke in high school. doesn't affect you when you only have like a dollar to your name in your pocket, maybe enough money for lunch money, Yeah. But now Black Monday 2.0 is arriving. And the risk is that this could start unwinding over the next several weeks, unwinding highly leveraged derivatives markets, combined with the fact that one of the BlackRock funds, I believe it's BlackRock, either Friday or Saturday, announced that they have to limit withdrawals because they just don't have the funds. I think it's one of these real estate funds. They don't have the liquidity to meet the withdrawal demands because everybody's trying to get out. Well, you can't just unload houses and commercial property that quickly, it turns out, especially when nobody's buying or very few people are buying, because this is not a seller's market right now, you know. There's not a lot of demand, especially as everybody's going broke. As food prices go through the roof, it's getting insane. So we're talking about a global, at least Western market collapse event. Looks like it's being unleashed at this point. But there's more to this. And I'm going to go through a list here with you of some of the price increases that were registered by Sunday night on different things like energy and shipping and metals and commodities and so on, just to give you a snapshot of where this is going. So let's start with energy. I already mentioned oil is over $110 per barrel, and it's going to go higher, again, probably $150. U.S. gasoline is up about 50 cents in 1 week on average. I've seen some photos of gas in California, or diesel in California, that's close to $10 a gallon. Gas isn't that high yet, but we are seeing $7 and $8 a gallon in California, which tends to have the highest prices. Jet fuel, importantly, is up almost 100%. As a result, there are now mainstream media stories talking about how major airlines are going to have to shut operations because the jet fuel costs are just, it's just breaking them. It's not even worth flying at this point with fuel costs that high. It makes more financial sense for some airlines to just stop, halt all operations, lay everybody off, refund everybody's tickets, and wait for fuel prices to come back online, or, you know, to get more affordable. Liquid natural gas globally is over 100% higher since this war began. That's going to go to probably 150 to 200% higher. Very little question about that. In the United States, natural gas has only gone up a little bit less than 10%. That's because the U.S. is a strong producer of natural gas. So, of course, we are very fortunate in the U.S. for natural gas supplies. But for gasoline for your vehicle, get ready to pay through the nose. In terms of shipping and freight, supertanker day rates are now, they have climbed over 200%, all-time record high. So a supertanker is now charging $423,000 a day. Used to be $140,000 a day 10 days ago, roughly 10 days ago. LNG carrier rates, that's liquid natural gas, those rates have gone up over 500%. Of course, those are the giant domed ships that are carrying compressed natural gas in those domes. They're also floating giant bombs, in essence. Wouldn't want to see one of those attacked, that's for sure. So whoever's importing oil or gas is going to be paying through the nose. Let's see. VLCC spot rate is up 900%. That's from Clarkson's research. It's up from $35,000 a day in January to now $350,000 a day. So it's up 900%, or essentially 10 times more expensive. Maritime insurance premiums are up 1,000%. Wow. Container war risk surcharge is now $3,500 per container if it's a reefer container that's refrigerated. Ship insurance per voyage is now, let's see, up to $1 million per single transit. That's for a $100 million tanker. So per voyage, it's $1 million. So what does this mean? Well, you know, global shipping has been the most cost-effective way to move goods around the world. It's very efficient. Now it's about to become incredibly costly. That's going to impact everything. Everything. I mean, electronics, consumer goods, textiles, you know, food, whatever. Telecommunications gear, medical gear, you know, cars, you name it. Everything is going to get way more expensive. And there's just no way around that. It's all going to get way more expensive. And you're going to start feeling it within about 30 to 45 days. Now let's look at some of the metals and commodities here. Platinum is up just slightly. Aluminum is going up a lot, 20% or so since the war began. Copper is at near record highs, almost $6 a pound. It's up 23% from a year ago. That's all I have on the metals, but let's go to agriculture and fertilizers. So across the board, fertilizer is up 36% compared to pre-war pricing. Urea is up about 17%. It's about $80 a ton. Wow. Sulfur. This is the big problem. Sulfur has no supply available anywhere. There's no spot supply of sulfur. And sulfur prices are spiking now with zero liquidity. This is going to be a big issue. We'll circle back around on that one. Ammonia, severe supply disruption. 33% of the global supply of ammonia, which is used in many chemical processes and industrial processes, 33% transits through the Strait of Hormuz, which of course remains closed. And then phosphate fertilizers are also, their prices are rising sharply due to shortages of sulfur and ammonia, which are inputs into phosphate fertilizers. So here's the thing about sulfur. Its largest use is in agriculture. Most of the sulfur that's produced, which of course it's a byproduct of oil refining or processing, the sulfur goes into sulfuric acid production. That sulfuric acid is then used to produce phosphate fertilizers. And if you don't have the sulfur, means you can't make fertilizers. It's not just about the natural gas. That's also an input into fertilizers. It's also the sulfur. So if you don't have sulfur, you don't have fertilizer, which means you don't have food, or at least not at the crop yields that we are used to. So last week I was talking about estimates of crop yields dropping 10 to 20%. I think we need to dramatically increase that now. Crop yields globally could go to maybe 20 to 30% less than a normal year. And because that is if the sulfur shortage lasts for a few more months, that's going to cause global famine, which is something that my friend Michael Yan has warned about numerous times, that this is actually a plot, he says, to cause global famine. And once you understand that sulfur is also, it's a soil amendment that is added directly to soil to lower pH, make it more acidic, obviously. It's also used in pesticides and fungicides. So elemental sulfur is antifungal, in case you didn't know that. So it's used in many, many applications to prevent the growth of fungus. But here's what else a lot of people don't know about the importance of sulfuric acid. Now, you know, I've used sulfuric acid in the lab. It's harsh. It's horrible. I don't like to use sulfuric acid. It's crazy dangerous. I mean, we use nitric acid a lot, and we use some other acids, but sulfuric acid is one that I don't want to touch. Now, it's used for ore leaching, which means it's used to separate elements from mined ore. So if you take a giant excavator and you dig up a whole bunch of ore, just tons and tons and tons of just dirt and rocks out of the ground, then if you use sulfuric acid, what you can do is you'll strip copper, zinc, nickel, uranium, etc. You'll strip all that out of the ores. And then now you have those elements in solution in the sulfuric acid, and then you use other techniques to extract those elements from the sulfuric acid, depending on the element. There are a lot of different techniques for that. That's also, in part, how you generate rare earth elements out of ore, is you use acids, and sulfuric acid is one of the main ones that's used. In addition, you may be aware of this, but sulfuric acid is used as a battery acid in lead acid batteries, which, of course, are still used in cars and trucks and off-grid power systems, backup UPSs, powering data centers, and more. Yeah, so sulfuric acid is critical, actually, for all these reasons and more. In other words, if we have a sulfuric acid shortage, which we now have, then we're going to have a shortage of copper, zinc, nickel, uranium. If you have a shortage of copper, you know, good luck building homes and neighborhoods and commercial buildings, etc., because your copper prices are going to go through the roof, which means your electrical connection prices, especially aluminum, is also going up at the same time. So there you go. Everything's going to get crazy expensive. Now, the sulfur shortage is also going to cause a lot of difficulty creating car tires. Are you familiar with the process of vulcanization or vulcanizing rubber? So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. You take rubber, at least this is my memory of it, you take rubber and, you know, you shape it into a tire, so you're blowing rubber into a form. And then somehow, probably under pressure, what you do is you bubble sulfur through the rubber, and it has a chemical reaction and it makes the rubber hard, that's called vulcanizing rubber, and that's how you make car tires. And, you know, without that, you just have sap or latex. You know, you don't have a car tire. So you need sulfur to make car tires, which means you need sulfur to make tires for everything: military vehicles, airplanes, you know, commercial jets, freaking everything, right? You also need sulfur to make explosives, gunpowder. And it turns out that the United States barely makes any explosives, especially compared to China. So we're not going to be able to make military munitions without sulfur, obviously. Sulfur is also used in detergents and surfactants, dyes, plastics, and resins, drug manufacturing. Have you ever heard of sulfa-classed antibiotics? Yeah, that uses sulfur, of course. So a lot of antibiotics and antivirals contain sulfur. Even some vitamins contain sulfur, like, MSM, for example. Sulfur is used in skincare products, nutritional supplements, glucosamine sulfate, right? It's for joint health. Well, what do you think the sulfate means? It's a chemical form of sulfur. On top of that, you're going to use it in lithium battery production for EVs and, you know, off-grid storage systems. It's used in cement production. It's used in gypsum or drywall. It's used in paper pulping processes, textile bleaching. It's used to make rayon fiber for textiles. It's used in food preservation because sulfur dioxide is an additive that preserves dried fruits, and it's used to make wine. It's used in sugar refining. So, yeah, no big deal. We're just going to have no car tires, no sugar, no gunpowder, no antibiotics, no crops, no fertilizer. Yeah, what could go wrong, right? It's used in everything. Essentially, a sulfur shortage would cascade across the entire industrial economy, and it's going to collapse everything if this doesn't get restarted. Sulfuric acid has been called, quote, the lifeblood of industry. And it turns out there's actually no single chemical that has a more urgent impact across the world's industry than sulfur. Did you know that? Isn't that wild? So given that sulfur has now collapsed to zero production, you should start thinking about all this. This is going to get bad. Like I said, COVID was just the warm-up round compared to where this is going. So the bottom line here is that, yes, oil's in trouble, natural gas is in trouble, fertilizer's in trouble, and a lot of commodities and metals are in trouble. Shipping is in trouble. Transportation, yes, it's going to crater. But the biggest problem in all of this is sulfur. And it's funny because I wasn't even thinking about sulfur until I dug into this with my AI research agents. And I started realizing, holy cow, you know, sulfur really is used in so many things. And without sulfur, we can't function as a modern civilization. So sulfur is the Achilles heel of the modern world. And sulfur has been cut off. As long as this war rages, there will be no sulfur. No sulfur available anywhere in the world, it turns out, or nearly anywhere. So get ready for extreme shortages, and even if the war ends tomorrow, the sulfur shortage is going to be felt easily for the rest of this year and well into next year, as well as energy shortages and transportation prices and so much more. This has already been set into motion. Catastrophe is been unleashed, and there's no stopping it now, even if you stop the war, because so much of the infrastructure has been destroyed. And on top of this, by the way, these Gulf states, you know, they can only store so much oil. So they've been producing oil this entire time. Well, not everybody, but most of them have, like Saudi Arabia in particular. But they're running out of storage because they can't ship the oil out because the Strait of Hormuz is closed. So within the next 7 to 10 days, I'm told, virtually all oil production will cease across the Persian Gulf region, the entire Middle East. There will be no more oil produced. So no sulfur, no oil, no gas, no fertilizer, no food. You know, do the math. No future. So for people out there who are cheering this war, like Lindsey Graham, you know, and Netanyahu and Trump, cheering the war, did they have any idea what they were unleashing economically? How many people are going to starve around the world? Could be hundreds of millions of people will starve because of this, dwarfing the number of casualties from the actual kinetic war itself. This is going to set back our economies by maybe a decade or more. This is economic catastrophe. So stock up while the food's available. I mean, yeah, of course, I'm going to mention my store because we have the food, and frankly, not a lot of people have been buying storable food this year. Until now, I'm sure it's going to fly off the shelves now. But we have been manufacturing Ranger buckets, mini buckets, mega buckets, freeze-dried foods, you know, organic, lab-tested foods for long-term storage. We've been making it like far faster than what people have been buying. We've actually been gaining inventory because, you know, we made a decision. It was like, I talked to my team, I don't know, a few months ago, or it was like around Christmas time. And I said, look, we should just keep making Ranger buckets because I'm pretty sure sometime in 2026, something crazy is going to happen and people are going to need Ranger buckets, you know? And then, you know, my team's like, yeah, but the risk is if we over-manufacture, then we're sitting on inventory that nobody wants or not at the pace that we're making it. I said, no, seriously, it's going to, I don't know why, I don't know what exactly, but we should have more pallets of food in our warehouse. You know, we still have more space. I'm like, we have this entire aisle here. You know, grab the forklift, get it going. So we made a bunch of Ranger buckets. We made like maybe way more than we should have, actually. As a result, we have a supply right now, healthrangerstore.com, and we're not raising the prices. We're not raising the prices, folks. It's the same price that it was before the war. That price, and that's across our store. We're not raising the prices on anything because of the war. There might be some minor price increases because of previous increases from our suppliers, like cacao prices or whatever. But we have not raised prices because of the war. You can still buy pre-war food price from our store right now, even as the war is going. So if you want storable food at essentially last year's prices before the fertilizer shortage kicks in and the sulfur shortage kicks in and the food prices go through the roof, then you can buy from us right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. That takes you to our survival preparedness page, which has all our food buckets right there in one place. And our, you know, mini buckets, mega buckets, number 10 cans with the freeze-dried fruits or vegetables or other items, microalgae, miso soup, other meal kits. It's all right there. healthrangerstore.com/survival. Get yourself squared away. Food prices are going to skyrocket. Transportation costs are going to skyrocket. And even worse, food scarcity is going to become far worse for much of the world. You know, the fertilizer shortage will affect the United States as well. It's going to make fertilizer costs go up in the U.S., even though we have enough land to grow enough food for all of us in the USA, but the price of that food is going to go up because of the fertilizer scarcity. So yeah, there might be food available, but you won't be able to afford it because the dollar is losing value from all the money printing, etc. So get yourself squared away right now. Whatever you want, we still have it at last year's prices. And you're never going to see that again. Especially after this week, whatever happens this week, it's going to get insane. And also, I don't know how many of these food supplies we can get from here on out. Seriously. There's a lot of this stuff that we get, like turmeric, you know, I've mentioned, that's from India. Well, those ships sail through the Suez Canal. They go across the Arabian Sea. You think they're sailing there now? No. No, nobody's got ships in that whole area unless they're trying to escape the war or they're part of the war. I mean, think about it. All kinds of global transportation has been interrupted because of this. So our supply lines are going to get cratered as well. So whatever we have is what we have. with no guarantees of when we're going to get more. I don't know. I'll do the best I can. I'll keep informed, but who knows? Who knows where this is going? Okay, thank you for listening. Mike Adams here. You can check all my videos at brightvideos.com. And you can also, you can catch my articles at naturalnews.com. Thanks for listening. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.